Opening weekend comes and goes. It's Seminole softball wrap here. Brian Pellerin, Gwen Rhodes. Knowles hosting the Joanne Graff Classic. 4-1, competitive, fun loss in game one, I guess. Can I call a loss fun? Is that allowed?
I mean, you can. It was definitely back and forth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. If, I will say, if anything, 4-1 is obviously a fun start to the year. I think we learned a lot about kind of how they're going to approach both the pitching staff, the lineup, or at least how they feel about it at this point. Obviously, long season, things can change, but what the initial idea is here, I feel like we learned a lot about it through kind of how the weekend. Obviously, we'll learn a lot more after this weekend, but there's no better place to really start for me than the first game. And I have to start that whole conversation with when we did our non-conference preview, and we don't have to name names, but one of the hosts on the podcast said that she thought Charlotte was a really good team, and she said that we shouldn't really overlook them because, she thinks that they're a really good team. We don't have to name names, but Gwen, you were right on that one, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that was obvious to me that Charlotte was a good team and that it was going to be competitive. Did I think we were going to lose to Charlotte? No, but I knew it was going to be a tough game, competitive, that all that kind of stuff. And it definitely was that. I mean, I was obviously it's sad that we lost and, but I mean, I think I was overall impressed with how Florida State like came back and tried to win the game, but ultimately fell short.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's obviously game one, so everyone's excited and prepared and thrilled for the year to start. So it's tough to lose the first game, but one game doesn't determine your entire season. In case you missed it, it was a 5-6 loss, 10 innings. Kind of mentioned it was, I guess maybe fun is the wrong word, but nerve-wracking at least. A game to really welcome you back to the season. Like, oh yeah, this is what we signed up for. It was Emma Wilson who got the start here. She went 3+, pulled in the fourth after giving up a leadoff single. McKenna took over at that point. She cleaned up the fourth, gave up two in the fifth, and a leadoff homer in the sixth. Ashton Danley took over at that point, ended up loading the bases, got out of it. She gave up three straight singles in the seventh. So then Emma came back in, eventually walked in the tying run. She went the rest of the game before the two straight two-out hits in the 10th gave Charlotte the win. So you saw a big mix here. Emma, McKenna, Ashton, back to Emma. Performance is one thing, and we can get kind of into that. But I guess, what was your major note and a mini major takeaway from the way the pitchers in this one were deployed?
I like almost immediately my thought is Emma Wilson, like not only performance but like usage. Like I first of all did not expect Emma to start this game, and when she came back in, like she was the only person outside of like people on the bench who could come back in. Like McKenna couldn't come back in at that point when Ashton was getting into trouble, and I just thought she did really really well. I think just based on her previous usage in the past couple of years, like yes, she is, the veteran on the team, but just based on how she's been used in the past, I really wasn't expecting what we saw out of Emma, and I'm very pleasantly surprised. I think with going from Emma to McKenna, Emma has like a tight spin, like kind of, well, is a strikeout pitcher, of course, and McKenna is that as well, but McKenna's more up and, Emma's more side to side, kind of, and she'll use a tight spin to get strikeouts, not really go up or down. So I thought it was a good change going from Emma to McKenna, but Emma, I mean, sorry, McKenna just didn't really have her stuff on opening night.
Yeah, it's a tough first game for her. I mean, do you see Emma? I mean, you said you were surprised Emma got the opening night start. At times, you can see matchup plays, but normally opening night is you either put your best out there, you put your these are the I'm hanging my hat on this. Do you expect Emma to be doing that going forward? Kind of being that lead person?
I think so. Like we said, like I said before, like she is the veteran based on years in the program, not necessarily on like game time experience, but I think she is, and I think Coach has shown that now, like not only starting Emma, but having her come back in rather than going to someone else on the bench. And a couple games later, like versus Texas Tech, she was the woman in relief who was the most efficient. So I think this weekend kind of showed that she can be that person. Of course, these three teams aren't what we will see next weekend, like competition wise, but they're still three good teams. So I think Emma definitely will be used as like the backbone or like the person that comes in and maybe like cleans everything up when needed.
And we'll talk about the young folks in the lineup here in a second. But one more pitching note was Ashton Danley, also part of this young group, and not being scared to flip her in there first game, competitive first game. Again, performance maybe didn't go the way we would hope with a couple of walks, and it might have just been jitters, first time out there, and everything that comes with that. But the willingness to be like game one, you're going right in there, shows they see something there.
Yeah, I mean, everyone who like follows the program and like or the last couple of years or follows recruiting, like you know Ashton is good. Like she is the pitcher in this class. And she, you know, is top five ranked kind of recruit. So coming in, like she, you know, putting her in third pitcher in the season, like she was expected to do great things.
Yeah, the youth movement, it was something we mentioned in the preseason in our roster preview as something to keep an eye on, and obviously again, like Ashton's part of that, and then it's hard to ignore what you saw in the lineup this weekend from the young folks, right? Jasoni Beauchamp starts at third base on opening night, 2 for 5 RBI. Isa Torres starts at shortstop, 2 for 4 with a run. Two right there who made a big impact, not just in this game but all weekend. And then the opening night was Kaylee Harding at first base, 2 for 5 with a run and an RBI. Big notes there from kind of the way they were used. Obviously, it kind of mixed up all weekend, but to see it on opening night and the performances from the two of them specifically.
Yeah, I think like Ashton, if you've been following the program, following Florida State softball recruiting, like you know how good Jasoni Beauchamp is. Like that's I feel like all I've heard the past 2 months preseason leading up to it is Jasoni Beauchamp is legit. Like she's not only legit defensively, but she is legit with the bat. And that was very much proven. Like she did not look like a freshman at all. Like I don't think there was one time where it was like, oh, I'm nervous that she's up in this position. Like, I don't know how she's going to do, like, in a pressure situation being a freshman. Not once was I like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. It was like, okay, I feel good with Jasoni at bat right now. And Alex Powers mentioned this on the broadcast too. Like, she's been coming to Florida State camps since forever. So she is very much ingrained in like the Florida State culture and like how things operate. So I think she did like outstanding. And similarly with Isa Torres, like the past month, I've been hearing like Isa's probably going to win out the shortstop battle, you know, her and Annie Potter, because they're both kind of shortstops. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't know how that's going to fare. Like I truly just didn't know which one was better, her or Annie. And it's very clear that Isa was a choice. And I was very excited to see, like, after she got that walk off against Texas Tech, like immediately next game, she's batting second. Like that not only shows how confident she is in herself, but like how confident the coaching staff is with her as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their first two at bats, I mean, first career at bats, it's Beauchamp RBI single, Torres base hit, and Beauchamp gets thrown out at home. But you see both of them first time stepping into the box, making an impact and playing their roles really well. And like I mentioned, I mean, they were a combined 4 of 9 on opening night in a competitive pressure spot game. It's not like they strolled in and were up like 10-0 and they were subbed in as reserves. They were put in as the starting left side of the infield and kind of handed the keys to that side of the infield and said, "Here, go take it." Yeah, overall, it's a loss, but I think you leave this game one with a lot of interesting things to take away, a lot of positives to be happy with, and things going forward. You obviously, like you mentioned earlier, you step into game two and it's not really competitive at all. It's 11-0. You win it in five over Charlotte, so you get your revenge there quickly. Allison Royalty was, are we calling her the queen? I love the crown celebrations the whole time. So, I mean, it makes sense. It fits. She was a dominant 4 innings, 3 hits, 5 Ks. Mimi Gooden cleans it up with a clean 5th inning. Allison looked great, which is kind of what we had hoped for.
Yeah, and I like this is what I wanted out of Allison. Like I knew she was great at Arizona State and she did what she needed to do there, in terms of picking up for people that left the program. But you know, last year was kind of this is your first year in the program. Like, there's maybe some inconsistencies pitching, and like, there's all these other people that we have to worry about on the pitching staff. And like, how do we fit Allison in? But I think her and Emma are definitely like, top two leaders on the pitching staff right now, just in terms of like being consistent and, doing what they can when they get their starts.
I think the other interesting note was they change up the lineup. They move Amaiam Ross to first and put Kaylee Harding out in right field. Just a little wrinkle there as something different.
Yeah, and this we kind of saw this the whole weekend, just moving around Kaylee, moving around Amaya, mixing and matching the outfield because they knew they were going to keep Jasoni at third and Issa at short. So it's kind of like, where does everyone else go? And Kaylee Mudge is not 100%, so she was out of the lineup. And it's like, who do you fit in to left field? And like, Hallie Wehkaser didn't have an outstanding first game, so she was taken out of the lineup as well. And it's like, where do we put all these people? And I think that kind of showed itself a little bit defensively because there were some errors that were made just throughout the entire weekend. And I think over time that will solidify itself. Like, it's not going to always be like, oh my God, where does everyone go? But it definitely showed itself a little bit this weekend for sure.
And I think it helps with the depth and the ability to mix and match and move people around. And kind of like you mentioned, if someone's not really rolling, you can throw someone else in there. If someone's banged up, you can throw someone else in there. Honestly, if I was going to label this game anything, it's Allison balls out and Kaylee with seven RBIs is kind of hard to argue with, right? A 3-run homer and a grand slam. And was it back-to-back at bats? I believe a pretty good start to the year for her on the second night.
Yeah, I was just really glad that like whatever happened to Kaylee defensively or whatever, it didn't affect her bat at all, and she was the Kaylee Harding that we've always known.
Yeah, she was swinging it all week, and the defensive errors came up in especially the Saturday win over Texas Tech. That's a 9-8 win, the comeback walk-off winner in the seventh that you mentioned before. I'll go lineup first in this one. So the lineup obviously had a big game. You scored nine. Jahni Kerr was kind of all over the place. She had a 3-run homer herself, four RBIs on the day, runs scored to go with it. Amaya Ross homered in this one, but again, it was if I really boiled it down, I would say it's Beachum and Torres here for me, especially in the seventh, right? Because you're up, and it's kind of like you mentioned, right? You weren't nervous about it. They're in a spot, you're down one, two outs, two runners on. It's a chance where very easy for a freshman to say, hey, this is my spot. I'm going to be the hero. Full count. I'm going to crush this. This is what I dream about. And she takes a walk and just moves it on to give Torres the shot to two pitches later win the game with a single. And it's a spot where it's like, it's very easy to do too much, and instead, both of them just did their jobs.
Yeah, and you think about like we've had veterans in this program in late innings or where they're down and they need something, and they even like think too much and they're like, oh my God, I need to make up for lost time or whatever. And to see like these two freshmen, especially, like we can't harp on it enough. Like they did more than what a freshman would do, but like just having the trust in themselves and each other, where it's like Jasoni's like, okay, I'm gonna get on. And walk because I know Issa's behind me and she can do what needs to be done. So it's like that relationship between themselves as well that I think was on display.
The one other person I feel like I want to mention is, and it's based off of the last game that we just talked about, and this one was Amaya Ross. It just, I think her name has been pinch runner over the last few years. That's kind of the click, right? But hitting a homer in this game, another two hit performance, playing right and first base again, and like I mentioned, the rest of the weekend she kind of kept doing that as well. But I feel like she really shined in this weekend and especially in this game.
Yeah, I think so too. And like last year was kind of the okay, let's, we're learning Amaya Ross and what she can do. And I feel like this year is going to be the Amaya Ross year. Like she is here and this is what she's doing. But I guess my only like question on that is like, is how does she fit everywhere else? Like we know we want her to line up, but like where does she go? Like we saw her at first base, we saw her at right field. Like, what is that gonna look like the rest of the season? And because we know she's going to be in the lineup. So it's like, because we want her bat and her speed, where does she fit everywhere else?
Yeah, and the versatility of first, right field, where you can kind of mix her in. I'm sure you could probably swing her to left field in times. It's the options are great, and the versatility of it is great. And if her bat is like this, it's going to be really, like you said, really hard to keep her out of the lineup, and really one of those players who can be a driving force. You're just like, gosh, I mean, you're looking six, seven deep in this lineup, and you're like, oh, it's just okay. Well, it's like the one of the fastest players on the field, and she might hit a home run against us. Great, that's no problem. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's part of just making this team so dangerous. It's really, going through each of these box scores and kind of looking back, like you were doing beforehand, kind of like refreshing each game. It's like anybody can beat you on this team, and that's where you keep going. Like, okay, so we talked in the pre-show, or the preseason show, about this team's depth and veteran leadership, and it's just like even the freshmen, the young people, the people that only had 13 starts in what, almost 100 games for Amaya. It's like it's just okay. Well, they could beat you so many ways on beyond that.
Yeah, and I think, if you watch the game this last weekend, like you follow them on social media, like their motto is like 4-1, but the one is spelled out
So
O-N-E.
good.
And it's like only need everyone or something like that. And I feel like that's always been Florida State's motto. Like it's not just one person, it's everyone. And that's what we saw this last weekend. So I think it's perfect.
Yeah, the one area that they continued to struggle in this game was obviously the pitching circle. Danley got the start, obviously went right back to her here, giving her another opportunity. Struggles to finish the first. So Emma takes over at that point, gives you another strong three innings, worked around a leadoff triple in the third. I think the only trouble she really got in was a solo home run. So, live with that. One bad pitch, no big deal. McKenna takes over for her at that point, and it really kind of becomes the error show at that point. You had a three-run lead. You give up a run, so you have a two-run lead on a sac fly. But then a ground ball eats up Kaylee at first, and kind of keeps the inning alive, and Texas Tech takes advantage from there. It's an RBI single. It's a two-run homer. Down, you're down 8-6 really quickly. And then Allison was when I actually gave up the home run. But defense, I think, more than anything, kind of cost you in this one after Allison's initial start, or Ashton's initial start. I think that's part of the growing pains of kind of figuring everything out. You just hope to get that out of the way early and kind of settle in from there.
Yeah, and I think what I've learned watching this program the last several years is with an inexperienced pitcher, whether that's freshman or they just haven't gotten a lot of time, like Kocha has a plan for them if they start. It's not just like throwing them to the wolves or like whatever. Like it's, very situational. So like with Ashton, like she was doing really well and you want to see her stay in, but Kocha's plan probably was if you get more than one runner on, I'm taking you out kind of thing. So something like that, or if you last two innings or something like that, Kocha probably had a cap on whatever Ashton was going to spend in the circle. So unfortunately, the defense like couldn't keep her in the game, but I think she did outstanding.
Yeah, that first inning was a walk, a strikeout, a double, second and third, a double with an error that allowed another run, a ground out, and a single. And then from there, it was okay, let's make the switch. Any other major note from this game?
I think, McKenna Reed only lasted an inning. I don't think she was having her best day or like necessarily even her best weekend. But we all know what she can be, and she did really well the last game against FAMU, or better than this Texas Tech game. But I think once she gets, I think she hopefully can realize that like it's not all on her, like maybe a lot of people thought it would be. This season, and maybe once that mindset changes or whatever have you, she can be the McKenna Reed we all know.
And watching, I was rewatching the her inning, the kind of fifth inning here where the wheels fell off. She wasn't particularly, I mean, there was nothing in there where I was like, okay, so she's struggling. You know what I mean? Like she was going to shut down that inning if that ground ball gets fielded and stepped on first. Like, okay, one run, no big deal, no sweat. You give us a couple innings in the middle of a game against a Power Five team. It's not like Texas Tech is a slouch of a team. You could take that and move on. You're up three runs already. When she comes in, like up three, it's fine if you give up one, especially on a sac fly. Like, that's fine. Yeah, limit the damage and get out of it.
I also think, now that you mentioned like Texas Tech being a Power Five team, like this Texas Tech team is made up of Florida State coaches. Let's remember that. Like these are people who know the program, they know like how Kocha works, they know some of the players, that kind of thing. So it's like this was supposed to be like a difficult game, you know what I mean? Because just the level of knowledge between the coaching staff. So yeah, I mean, you do want to beat a team like Texas Tech, who is unranked, but like you said, they're a Power Five team. They're in the Big 12, and they have people who know this program on the coaching staff. So
Yeah, they know how you operate. They know what you're trying to do. They know the thought process. They probably can say, this is the plan for Ashton. If we can
yeah.
get, two people on, she's coming out. Like, we knew that in advance, and that gives them a little bit of an edge. You probably know the same, but to that extent, it kind of takes away a little bit of your advantages there. Sunday, you see this team really kind of get back in the groove. Play Florida A&M 2 games there, and you combined 17-2 is the win there. The first game was Mimi Gooden going 5 shutout innings. I thought she was great this weekend. I mean, obviously, she didn't get a run, I don't believe.
Yeah, I think I said this when we were previewing the team, kind of, I didn't know who Mimi Gooden was until they announced her on signing day, but I knew everyone else. So I was like, oh my gosh, like I truly don't know what this is about. But I was really happy to see, like, not only she came in a game prior and lasted like an inning to close it out or something like that, but I was really happy that, Coach A trusted her to go the whole game. And, sometimes we see Coach A take out a pitcher who's doing well in the last inning to give someone else a chance, but she didn't do that. She had a complete game. I of course it was only 5 innings, but it's still a complete game. And she only gave up 3 hits, which is outstanding. And for a freshman to not only give up less than 5 hits or what have you, she didn't give up a run at all either. So.
Yeah, and we mentioned in that preview episode show, we were talking like you never really know, right? Like it can be highly ranked recruits, it can kind of be anybody. And that's not to say like Mimi is going to be pitching like game one of the WCWS or something, right? But I mean, it's the options that Coach A likes to have, and that she pitched 2 different spots this weekend, performed great in them. I mean, this one she allowed 5, 3 hits, 2 walks, no big deal, 5, 4 strikeouts, 1 hit batter, like. She pitched great. And again, it's not like Florida A&M is a team you expect to see playing in the postseason, playing for in Oklahoma City or something like that. But it's options, and it's her ability to give you, something different, a different look, a new perspective, and that adds to it. You also in this game get your first Area 51 visit of the season. And then Beachum gets her first home run. So I think two big swings there that you like to see. Get that kind of first one out the way is always some reason important.
Yeah, and I think we need to like have a name for Beachum's home runs because we have Area 51 for Michaela. I don't know if it's a play on beach or something, but I feel like
Beach
she will
balls.
need, I think she will need one eventually if you catch my drift.
I just think she's going to hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's what you were alluding. That was the big, that was the, if you understand what this very secret alluding to I'm doing
Yeah.
here. Beach balls. I mean, what do we got?
Beach, I don't know.
Okay. Well,
We'll leave that
put the
up to the
comment
people.
section on it. If you're listening, get in the comment section and come up with something good. And we will, and Gwen will take it straight to FSU softball Twitter and make it take over.
Yeah.
The other thing I note here, the positions, right? You had Harding at third, Amaya back at first, Beachum going to DP in this spot. And then, like you mentioned, Torres jumping up to the 2 spot after the walk-off. I thought that was pretty important.
Yeah. This game also, the first Florida A&M game, also had Kaylee Mudge back and
Yes.
Halle Lakeacer, which was great. Kaylee had some really solid line drives. One was caught, but I think she was hitting the ball really well. And we can just see, I guess, she also had some good defensive plays in this game that in the first game that she was in didn't really show themselves. I think just because of her limited time due to injury that she probably could have made before. So hope, I mean, I don't think a day or two changes the status of her health, but it's nice to see that she was kind of seemingly back to her old self.
Yeah, that does always good to see. Mudge was the DP in game two on that weekend too on the Sunday game. She says that's an 8-2 win. They go back to Ashton here. She gets you 3 innings, 2-run ball. So you can see it. They keep giving her the ball back. They're like, no, you're gonna figure this out. You are important. Figure this out. And she did. Took 3 runs, 3 innings, 2-run ball. Nothing you complain about there. McKenna looks like McKenna again. 4 scoreless innings, 6 strikeouts. I think it's a solid day in the circles, kind of what you were hoping for. And
Yeah.
then the lineup, I think you get Torres back in the 2 spot, Beachum at third, Amaya at first, Harding in right field. I mentioned Mudge in the DP spot. Harding, Beecham, and Dev Flaherty each drive into. Mudge is, contributes number seven there. So you kind of got it from everybody. You can see the big winners of the weekend for me, Harding and Beecham making an impact again. You kind of got it all over the place here. And you can see Torres is kind of fitting well in the two spot early.
Yeah, I think now that we've closed out the weekend, I think just what my questions or what I'm interested to see moving forward once like lineups get solidified and things like that is A, like who comes in as a pinch hitter when it's needed? Like, is it Katie Dack? Is it Amaya Ross? Is it Angeli Bueno, who we saw a few times? Like, who exactly do they want it to be, or a few options? And that's also dependent on like who the DP is and things like that, because we saw this weekend like Kaylee was a DP, so it's like who goes where kind of thing. But yeah, I think my biggest interesting point of view would be like who is that pinch hitter, because you know when Katie Dack came into the program, I was thinking, oh my God, Kate, and she was for a little bit, like Katie Dack is going to be in this lineup every single game, and then it turned out she wasn't, and she was like either DP or she was a pinch hitter. And I think like I want to see Katie Dack get consistent at bats because I know she's good. So I'm just interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, I think overall it was a good weekend, a fun weekend. Obviously, the loss in game one hurts, but I think you leave it with a lot of interesting storylines. And Lord knows, next weekend you're going to figure it out very quickly. The magnifying glass will be put on all of it as you head here to Clearwater and that invitational with the teams on the schedule. And I think to me, where I'm looking is the pitching staff, right? Who is the answer? Who are the answers? When this person doesn't have it, who is the one you can go to? And even if it's, I just need you to get me out of this inning before I can hand the ball to someone else. Is that Emma? Is McKenna that person? Because I don't think McKenna had a start this weekend looking over what I had. So I imagine McKenna's not going to be your starting person. So it seems like she's still in this stopper role from before. She excelled in it last year. Is that something you can carry over now that everyone kind of has a year to know, like, this is McKenna Reed? I'm really interested in what they look like this weekend. Where do they get the outs? Because this isn't going to be, and no offense, you said it at the beginning, Charlotte is a good program. Texas Tech knows you very well. Florida A&M is a good program from right here in town. You know, like these are good teams. You're facing championship caliber teams 4 consecutive days this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend will definitely be a test. I have all the same questions as you. And maybe even like maybe we see McKenna start, maybe because you know these teams know McKenna. Like she was the outstanding freshman last year, right behind Kat. And like you could say for everyone else, maybe or maybe not including Allison, they don't really know who these other pitchers are. Like Emma hasn't gotten a lot of playing time and she's seemingly a different pitcher than she has been the last couple of years. They don't know Ashton and they don't know Mimi. So, you know, it's who does Coach O want to put where based on knowledge from the other teams.
Yeah, I'm curious what they put out there, right? Like who? Yeah, obviously Stanford. I think we didn't match up with Stanford. I think I remember that, right? No, we avoided them because it was some kind of weird thing. UCLA obviously was a someone that didn't match up because of the round one loss there. And then Georgia was your super regional opponent. Tennessee you faced in Oklahoma City, so you do have teams familiar with you. You do have teams that are, I mean, UCLA is the lowest ranked team of the group here. You know. Tennessee's 2, Stanford's 3, Georgia's 6, UCLA's 8. I think Florida State's 7, right, in the newest polls that came out this morning. So, I mean, you're matching up with another top 8 team here every single day, and it's going to be very fun. It's also a very fun tournament. Got a plug, come on down, come hang out in Clearwater. Great city, great town. As someone who works in Clearwater, that's all. But yeah, no, I'm excited. I was telling you before, this is a really fun weekend. The games are ESPNU, ESPNU, ESPN2, and then the mothership on Sunday night. It should be a lot of fun. Any of these teams have a big note from this weekend that stands out to you that you want to push on here?
Yeah, I've been waiting to say this. UCLA was not good this last weekend. They had a tough opening weekend. They hosted Oklahoma State and Texas, so two really great teams, but they lost to Texas their first game. Then Texas came back the next day and run ruled them. And Oklahoma State did the same thing the next day. So maybe you can expect a UCLA loss, like looking at these three games, but you don't expect UCLA to get run ruled twice. So I'm very interested to see how they fare, not only in Clearwater, but like against us, because I think this is a very different UCLA team than we've seen in the past. I'm pretty sure Georgia won all their games this last weekend. I'm not sure where they were, but from what I saw, they beat Purdue a couple times, that kind of thing. Tennessee, I think, was in Baylor, if I'm not mistaken, or they played Baylor at least.
So Georgia hosted Murray State, South Dakota, Murray State, and then two games against Purdue.
Yeah, and I do believe they won all of those.
Yeah, they did.
And then State.
All generally low scoring games looking at it.
Yeah, and then Stanford, I think they either lost once or twice, but either one of those games had the Najee Kennedy game. So, and they lost a Power Five opponent. So it's not like they lost to a mid-major team or something like that. So Stanford, they can lose with Najee Kennedy. Like, that's not out of the picture. And I think that goes to a lot of it being people know who she is now.
Stanford was 3-2 on the weekend at San Diego State. They beat San Diego State, Minnesota, and UC Santa Barbara 3-2 or 3-0, 3-0, and 3-2, and lost both games to Kentucky 2-1 and 3-2 and 8. So they scored no more than three in any of the games they played this weekend. So I would imagine it's kind of similar to what they looked like late last year. Low scoring, you just got to score on them.
Yeah, and I think last year and maybe a little bit this year, like they just relied on Najee Kennedy to shut down when she needed to, and like if the offense could scratch a winning run or two, then that they were fine with it. But with them bringing in Taryn Kern from Indiana, and like her being the power hitter that she was, like I don't know if they really expect that this year, or at least they want maybe like a run or two more cushion wise. But yeah, we'll see if Stanford is kind of like similar to last year. And then Tennessee is going to be great, I think, no matter what. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, Tennessee's weekend was in Baylor, like you mentioned, 15-0, 3-2 over Baylor, and then 9-1 over Baylor. So, a team we know can score. That's no real surprise. I would say that's pretty standard for an SEC team. You'd agree?
Yeah, and they have the pitching too. Like they bring back Peyton Goshall, who was really great last year. And then the SEC Freshman of the Year and Carlin Pickens. So, and I think they have some people coming back also, and maybe like a freshman on their pitching staff. But I know their pitching staff is good, so they are very like complete. They're probably like the most complete team, obviously, with their high ranking out of the four teams.
So presumably we'll keep our every other week schedule. So if you're watching this weekend, to help you out here, it's Stanford. That's the Thursday game, 4 p.m. Eastern. So I say Eastern like most people aren't Eastern, but maybe you're Central or I don't know, West Coast. Which is I'm still figuring it out when I'm still figuring it out. UCLA, eventually I'll stop asking you when you're like, how's about noon? I'm like, which would be 3 my time, right?
Yeah, right.
UCLA is the Friday game. That's a 1 p.m. start. Georgia is the Saturday game, 10 a.m. start, so you can wake up, have your coffee, and watch the game. And then Sunday is, like I said, on the mothership ESPN game. You've got the 8 p.m. game, the primetime game, the big slot there. So, I guess be ready to have a little less sleep on Monday morning for work, or maybe it's a quick game. I don't know. But an 8 p.m. start in a tournament could be a little later than 8, but we'll see. Hopefully the weather cooperates this weekend. I think last time I checked, it should be fine here. And then the following week, it's FIU, Nichols, and Charleston Southern. I imagine nothing major there for you.
No.
No. Okay. So our next time you probably hear from us will be 2 weeks from now, which looks like the 26th, somewhere in that range. And we'll be preparing you guys for the tournament up in Gwen's region, talking about what happened in Clearwater and kind of get you ready for that Pacific Northwest trip. And then, of course, the Fort Myers weekend. The weekend after that. Any notes elsewhere in the country? Someone not on Florida State's, next 2 week schedule? I mean, we kind of talked about Stanford, Tennessee, and the like, but anything else that really caught your eye? I know, like you mentioned, Texas had a couple big wins this weekend, as did Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I think Clemson and Florida are probably like the first that come to mind. I know Florida lost to Oregon State, I believe. Or no. Either they were down in Tampa, that tournament that had them, Oregon State, South Florida and Illinois State. I'm pretty sure it's Oregon State, but I could be wrong. Either way, they lost. But it wasn't because of like their pitching wasn't good. Their pitching was really good.
It
It
was
was,
Michigan.
oh, Michigan. Michigan was also there.
They beat Oregon State 1-0 in game one, and then they lost to Michigan in game two.
Yeah, Michigan. And that's kind of like the typical suspects down at that tournament this time of year. But yeah, I think Florida will be rocky this year. I think that's kind of everyone's consensus for Florida. And then Clemson did really well. They were in Clearwater at the NFCA Leadoff Classic. And they had a matchup against Tennessee that no, Tennessee's coming to them. Sorry. They're playing Tennessee later. You can tell. I mean, I kept away.
I did put you on the spot here. So their weekend was Missouri State, Indiana, Liberty, Oregon, and Missouri.
Yeah, Oregon was the game that was on MLB Network. And then Missouri beat them because I believe Missouri went undefeated this weekend. So Clemson already, I mean, we obviously don't play them in the regular season, but it's always good to keep tabs on what they're doing. Because it's presumably that we're going to see them in the ACC tournament. So they did good this weekend. I think they have a really good, solid team. And we'll see how they fare in the ACC.
Yeah, they're heading to Mexico this upcoming week for a tournament there. Fun trip.
Yeah. And I guess the Oklahomas of the world, I guess we could talk about. They obviously went undefeated, but it wasn't
Oh, they're
full.
good? Wait.
Yeah. You didn't know that, Brian?
I didn't. That's crazy.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't for lack of trying. They had Duke, which was a tight game,
Yeah, 3-0.
down in Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, which is where Clemson's heading. So Oklahoma is still Oklahoma.
Yeah, Washington another 4-3 here I'm seeing. So
Yeah.
close games. Good teams, close games. So maybe they might lose one this year. Who knows?
Yeah, and the Washington game, I do remember that was like a very controversial win because I believe it was Washington had a runner coming to tie the game and she was tagged out at home. And upon review, it looked like the runner was safe. But they called her out. So Oklahoma won.
Ah, yeah, I'm trying to look through the log here. I missed that one. But oh, yeah, sixth inning. Go ahead and run. Tagged out at home.
Yep.
All right. Well, good to know. So if you were positioning Florida State kind of in the mix, in terms of these top teams, obviously very early, but you still think they're still in there. They're still a one of the better teams. No one freak out, no one panic, no one run around in circles screaming fire or anything.
Yeah, and also you just like have to remember like it's literally the first weekend. Like you can run around and scream fire if you want, but like things are gonna change, things are gonna get more solidified, that kind of thing. And yeah, some programs look better than us this weekend, but also maybe look at their competition for some of them. So yeah, we'll see. I don't think it's panic alarm button. I don't think it ever is, especially in 2021, like our offense was not the best, but we still made it to the Women's College World Series kind of thing. Maybe it's another year like that where there are some questions that need to be answered places, but we're always going to figure it out. So I wouldn't
Yeah,
worry.
especially this weekend. I think we learn a lot this weekend. Really get a figure out your gaps, right? Even if this weekend goes poorly, you figure out your gaps and you figure out a lot about your team and you plug it in. But I think this is gonna be a fun weekend. I think they're plenty capable of having a fun time and being on the big channels and everything. Everyone gets a chance to see them all across the country, including right here. So.
Yeah. And I just think like because of this last weekend across the country, I think next weekend looks very different for Florida State or like the expectations maybe just because like I said, UCLA lost and Stanford was kind of rocky kind of thing. So as daunting as this looked 3 weeks ago or whatever you want to say, I don't think it looks that way anymore.
No matter how you slice it, I think it's still teams that they're still the teams that are going to be the ones competing to go to Oklahoma City, the teams competing
Absolutely,
to
yeah.
host regionals. So they are important wins, obviously important games to pad your resume, host regionals, host super regionals, and be ready to go to there. But I'm really excited to see who shines, who's ready, who's gonna, grab this team and go, let's go win this thing, let's compete. So I'm really pumped. I know you are, and it should be a really fun weekend. So. Like I said, it's the 12th we're recording this. next time you probably hear from us, we post 2 weekends from now, so probably around the 25th, 26th type stuff there. Anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, we don't have a personal section this week, but we'll probably have it next time, maybe.
Yeah, a little fun stuff. Your dad cleaned up at the first pitch banquet, right?
Yeah, he
Okay,
did.
so maybe we'll go through. We'll do
A
it's
haul.
not really a shin haul, but right, you know, she in haul. But
Genia.
yeah, you got it. You knew it. One of those. So maybe we'll do that. It'll be our OOTD, but instead it'll be like a home plate. So we'll see. So we'll run through it, see what Gwen got, all the fun stuff. But until then, later, y'all. That's a wrap.
Bye.